On the phone right now is Elaine McGregor, a representative of Citizens for Safe Cycling. Welcome to the show, Elaine.
Good day.
Thanks for joining us. Let's talk about an issue that I think is on the mind of a lot of people all over Ottawa, but also people in downtown areas. I'm speaking, of course, of the accident on March Road that involved five cyclists and one driver in a fairly wide bike lane. Now these cyclists were all hurt, some quite critically. And I think that was a moment of pause for a lot of cyclists. A lot of cyclists downtown, too, who on their way to work, say, if they cycle, they have to deal with a lot of traffic around them, behind them, in front of them, to the left, to the right. So anyways, let's talk about the situation downtown and how safe it is for cyclists.
Well, I think that any cyclist who, is aware of what's going around them and looking at the traffic around them is probably a lot safer in any case, because that's one of the basic things that you do if you want to be a safe cyclist, is that you're aware of what's going on around you. You shoulder check regularly, you look around, you see if someone's likely to do something stupid, if a pedestrian's going to be walking out in front of you, all those sorts of things. And, and when you're in a situation like downtown traffic, you have to be more aware than if you're cycling, say, over on Fisher Avenue, when there's only two cars every 10 minutes coming by you. It is a different situation. In terms of what is good or bad about downtown, downtown is a very diverse area. There are streets in downtown that are very quiet that you can ride on fairly easily, except actually at the intersections. There are roads like Lyon Street, for example, that are traffic calmed with vertical measures, speed humps and speed tables and raised intersections, where the actual speed of the road has been substantially reduced, and it is a lot nicer for cyclists. There also are more difficult streets and intersections, for example, like Confederation Square, which a lot of cyclists refer to as Confusion Square, because it's actually quite badly designed. And it's not just badly designed for cyclists, it's badly designed for motorists as well. And there's a lot of traffic having to move over and move around. You're looking at buses trying to get through there very fast. It's a situation where it's not so much that there's high speed there, but that there's a lot of traffic that's trying to move around and having to figure out how to maneuver around there, and that makes it more difficult for everybody.
And you might even have to deal with some tourists who are a little pedestrians.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Pedestrians who are a little confused about where exactly they can walk.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What about Laurier, on the Laurier Bridge there? There's a bike lane there, and there's a little entry point off of that actually runs in reverse flow, I guess, to the traffic on the off-ramp going down to Queen Elizabeth Way, and then there's a little bike lane across Laurier. That seems like a helpful idea for bicyclists. How does it play out?
Well, it's certainly something that both the cycling advisory committees at the time and CFSC supported, because in general, putting a bike lane on a bridge will give cyclists a little bit more room there. The problem with that particular bridge is that motorists aren't actually considering the bike lane. And the problem there is that you have a huge amount of right-turning traffic going onto Nicholas to get onto the Queensway. And there's, because of that, the engineers designed a right-turn lane that's very, very long there. And that then interferes with the bike lane, because a lot of times you have cars essentially backed up right in the middle of the bike lane to get onto the right-turn lane in there. And so that's a problem where you've got way more right-turning traffic than you should in that particular area, and that, the bike lane simply can't deal with it. The bike lane itself is a perfectly fine bike lane, but the particular situation with the traffic makes it impossible for any bike lane to do its job there. And what happens there is that in the, mid-afternoon, starting about 2:30, 3 o'clock in the afternoon and going till about 5:30, cyclists essentially are forced to either wait in the bike lane or to go to the left of the cars waiting in the bike lane, and then that increases their risk of actually conflicting with cars going straight. So it's certainly a problematic area, and certainly the problem there really isn't so much the bike lane, but simply the huge amounts of traffic, way more than should be there, that are in the Laurier and Nicholas intersection, and that's what makes it dangerous, is the huge amounts of traffic and the huge amounts of truck traffic.
Now, I don't venture to the suburbs too much. I'm kind of a downtown guy, but I was in Barrhaven the other day, and there was a roadway. I forget exactly which street. I think it was Woodruff, way out there in south Ottawa. And the road was designed the same way. There were fairly wide bike lanes, which I imagine are very similar to the ones on March Road. But at intersections, cars still have to turn right into the lane. And during rush hour, when a lot of people are heading back to the suburbs, I imagine the same problem could pop up. And even the driver I was with at the time, I wasn't driving. He seemed kind of nonchalant going through this bike lane. And I thought, well, what if, you know? And the chances of a collision are slim, but, you know, I mean, they're there.
Well, that's it's the thing is, though, that if there is a bike lane there, I mean, drivers are taught to keep out of collisions. It's not something that, you know, any motorist would, you know, willingly, unless they're, you know, nuts, try to get into. I mean, it's both for their own safety and for their own pocketbook. So if you have, the standard, you know, thing you were taught in driving school, any type of lane, you are supposed to shoulder check, and you check that you move into that lane, and then you move into the right turn lane. It's not that it's, on Woodruff, you're actually less likely to be causing a problem with the person in the bike lane because, frankly, there just isn't the amount of traffic being held up there, so you're not actually going to be blocking the bike lane, you're merely going to be crossing it, and crossing the bike lane isn't, if the driver ensures that they are not cutting off cyclists, is not in itself a dangerous maneuver.
One solution that people have come up with, or at least it's a perceived solution to the problem of whether or not it's Woodruff or Laurier or whatever, the driver-cyclist interaction, you know, so a way to avoid that is to segregate lanes and to have a dedicated lane, either one way or two ways, for cyclists, which is actually separated from the road by a median or some kind of barrier. It's an idea that we've talked about on the show before and is popular among some folks. What do you think of that idea?
I think that is an idea that's superficially nice, but has so many logistical and psychological problems that it just simply will not work. There are a few places, unless you put in like millions of dollars into a very, very specific design, at which point you've essentially blown your cycling budget to, you know, solve 8 blocks worth of problems. And even still, you have other concerns. For example, you talk about putting those tiny little plastic rods on the road, which someone suggested this week. Problem with that is, the snow plows will take them out every winter. In fact, the snow plow drivers would say, you're out of your mind. You are not going to put these things in the middle of the road. Second of all, they essentially provide a visual warning because any driver going out of control will just knock them over. That's what they're designed to do. You know, it's not like you're going, you know, the point of any of those things is simply to provide a visual warning because once the driver hits them, they crack over. If you're talking about a curb, about 6-inch curb, well, you know, that won't prevent a driver out of control either because we've had way too many situations all over the world and here where essentially a car has gone out of control, gone up on the sidewalk and killed pedestrians. You know, pedestrians may have a segregated right of way, but that doesn't make it any less likely that they're going to get hit, unfortunately. You know, it makes sure their feet don't get wet, but it doesn't really protect them in the same way. I wish I could say that, but it's not true. I mean, there was the horrible situation in March 2008 where a woman was sitting in a bus stop at Lincoln Fields and the car went out of control and she died. So that won't do. You could put in jersey barriers, which is, you know, some places can do. But the problem is there, in particular, what you're doing there is you're segregating cyclists from the rest of the street, but all you're preventing there is a collision from the rear or a collision from the side. Those are very rare instances. Those you're looking at like 1 or 2% of collisions or even less. And a lot of those collisions happen at night, by the way. So it's, you know, you're not even talking about daytime collisions. And so what you're doing there is that you're increasing the likelihood of collisions at intersections, which are quite common. You know, much, much more likely that a cyclist will go along the street and the motorist will make a right turn, and because the cyclist is in an area where essentially the bottom half of the cyclist isn't even visible because of the jersey barrier, the motorist simply won't see them as they scan the street. And they say, oh, yeah, I can make that right turn. And they go, make the right turn, and they go, bam, into the cyclist. Also, the cyclist can't see the motorist's right turn signal either because of the Jersey barrier blocks the side of the car. So the cyclist is less aware of what the motorist is doing as well. So there's a lot. The thing is that with most collisions involving cyclists and cars, which are, by the way, not the most common types of cyclist-type accidents anyways, the most common type of cyclist accidents is a fall. But what you're doing there is that the motorist says, I didn't see the cyclist, over and over again. What you hear is, I didn't see that cyclist. That cyclist came out of nowhere. And, you know, if you segregate a cyclist, you're just going to, you know, in a lane like that, what you're going to do is at every intersection, you substantially increase the likelihood that motorists are going to hit cyclists. And that's what scares the heck out of me. The other thing that bothers me about segregated lanes is that they're more difficult to clean. We see that all the time, for example, at Metcalf and Cooper, where they have a little segregated right-of-way for cyclists, which, you know, seemed like a great idea at the time, except it's also always full of crud and leaves and dirt and glass and everything like that, and the city never gets around to cleaning it. So we have a greater likelihood that there's going to be, you know, broken glass and other stuff in that road, which will then make it more difficult for cyclists to actually use it and more dangerous, you know, because it's frankly much more difficult to clean very small lanes like that. They have to be done with special equipment, and therefore they're not done very well.
So it's a complicated issue, to put it lightly.
Yeah, you see, that's the thing. I've been reading a book called Traffic, which came out last year by Tom Vanderbilt, where he talks about a lot of the, you know, the issues involving traffic safety. He said, you know, it comes down to so much of it is psychological rather than facilities. I mean, there's a facilities, always a facilities issue, but a lot of it is, you know, if people think they're safe, then they do riskier things. So, you know, and so it comes back and forth. You know, like you put in ABS brakes, and the number of collisions actually goes up because people say, "Oh, well, I can stop quicker." Well, yeah, right. Except you take more risks. You know, you put in the they have that 2 second all red on signals at intersections. Well, what that means is that a lot of drivers jump the red now. It's you know, there's a lot of different issues there, and I'm concerned that if we just say that, oh wow, we're going to put in a segregated lane and then everybody's going to be safe, well, everybody's going to ride on that road, on that particular segregated lane, as though there's nobody else on the road beside them, and that is a very, very unsafe way to ride.
Well, Elaine, unfortunately we're running out of time on the show, but I want to thank you for joining us. Mm-hmm. And shedding some light on what are some pretty complex issues.
Okay, thank you very much.